Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Amen. Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? I want you to turn to someone and tell them they are blessed. Because we live in the reality of the empty tomb. Amen. The tomb is empty. The victory is won. We now live in the victory of Jesus Christ. So church, I don't know if you feel like celebrating the Lord, but every day we should celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, let's just lay down all of our problems at the foot of the cross. Let's lay down all of our concerns, all of our worry, all of our anxiety, because God has pulled us back into the family through faith in Jesus Christ. So we stand in His victory, we stand in His glory, and we are perfected by Him. So church, let's worship in that freedom this morning. Let's worship in His glory, and let's lift His name above all names, for He is truly worthy of our praise. Church, let's pray. Lord, as David declared in the Psalms, Your goodness through all seasons. As he sat up there on that mountaintop and he looked down into the valley of the shadow of death, he wrote these words, Lord, to declare Your goodness. That says, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, for You are with us. Lord, let us not forget You are with us through all seasons, through all times. Lord, let us not forget the victory that You have given us, that You have called us to live a life and live it more abundantly in You. Lord, there's times, Lord, this world tries to burden us down. The enemy tries to convince us we are defeated. But Lord, You have given us the victory. We declare victory in You, not ourselves. It's not about effort. It's about surrender. It's not about doing more. It's about receiving more. Lord, the victory has already been done. It's not about religion that says do more. It's about relationship that demands us to know You more. And the more we know You, the more we are settled into this race, Lord, this journey with You. Lord, let everyone here, Lord, feel Your love, understand Your love and Your acceptance of us. Let us feel that perfect love that casts out all fear and all doubt. Lord, we stand on the victory at the cross this morning, and we declare all these things in Your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Amen. A special thank you to our children's pastor, Morgan. She does a great job with the children and in our church body. Are you blessed this morning? Yes. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord. As we kind of continue our worship, we're going to focus on the giving aspect as the extension of our worship. So this morning, if you desire to do more for the Lord and to see God do more, then we give into His kingdom. Because what we give into His kingdom, He will multiply and He will use for His glory. He will use it to help people. To our goal is not to just accumulate money. Our goal is to outreach. Our goal is to reach as many people as possible. So everything you give gives to that purpose. You can text the amount here. You can scan that QR code. In the back of your seats, there is a QR code there. You can scan or you can give in the boxes as you enter in the church from the side. But we're so thankful for everything you give. We have a vision at the way, and we want to reach as many people as possible with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because it is good news. We're Christians. We're supposed to be excited about what God did and share that with the world. Amen. Well, if you want to remain standing, let's grab our Bible. We're doing something new. We're going to say this confession about God's word so we can open our minds, open our hearts to what the Lord has, to what God has for us. So let's take our Bibles in hand and let's say this together. No, it's okay. Do we have it up? Okay, here we go. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. We will learn that and grow in that together, because if we truly believe that, then God's word is alive. It's active in us. So I want to start with a quote this morning. I love this quote. It says, the same power that raised Christ is not just a doctrine to believe. It is a life to be lived. Jesus said in John 10:10 that I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The enemy came. He said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to bring you life and more abundantly. Church, do we desire that abundant life? Do we desire a life that is free from the entanglement of the chains of this world? Jesus did not just rise again from the grave so that we could go back into bondage. He rose so that we could stay free. Because whom the Son sets free is what?
Free.
Is free indeed. Are we free this morning? Because the enemy loves to put chains on us, requirements that are not of God, that are man-made, things that are designed to steal our joy. But when we are in Christ, when we are in Him, there's no denying that the freedom that comes from walking in a relationship with the Lord that transcends our life. There is not a way to approach God that is right just with an open heart. Amen? A Christian is not about how you act. It's not how you dress. It's not what you say. It's a heart that is willing to receive the Lord, and He's transforming us into the same image from glory to glory. That is the gospel. And that is the fact of an empty tomb, that we live in it, we walk in it, and when we start to see the Bible from that understanding, the Bible jumps out to us. And we start to see things in the Bible that we didn't see before. The veil has been lifted, and now we can see God's word for what it is. It's meant to transform us into something more. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And I want to go kind of verse by verse this morning in chapter 1 to see the reality of this empty tomb. Because I want to live, I want to obtain the power of His resurrection. Amen? I want joy when there is no circumstance to give me joy. I want peace in chaos, and I want a confirmation of His goodness on my life when the world can't give me that. So we go to chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, it's easy just to go on to the next verse, but let's really dive into that and what the reality of that is for us. That He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That means it's not past tense. It's not future that is coming if we do the right thing. It's not conditional based on what we do. It is given to us on what Jesus did. How many times have we confused with acting right, doing right, then God will bless you? If you do this, then God will bless you. Amen? What if we understood it's already done? And our job is to receive it with an open heart. The gospel is not complex, it is simple. Jesus took something that we couldn't do. He died for us, He rose again so that He could give it to us. It's not something we earn, it's something we received. And He has blessed us in the present, right now, through Jesus Christ, with every spiritual blessing. So how many of us are praying for God to give us something? Amen? That we pray, say, God, give me this. Lord, I need this. Lord, if I had this, I would feel complete. But what if it's already given to us? in the spiritual blessings that he's already bestowed upon us, forgiveness, adoption, redemption, inheritance. We're sealed with his spirit, righteousness, forgiveness, holiness. All that he is abundant in, grace and mercy. Mercy triumphs judgment. Amen. What if we all showed each other mercy and grace? What a better world we would live in. But we can create that ourselves because God is abundant in grace and mercy. Right when we think he's done with us, no, he's not done with us. He extends more grace and more mercy until we get it right. The heavenly places simply means the blessings are eternal. They're not temporary. They're secure, not fragile. They come from God, not this world. Everything in this world is temporary and will fade away. Everything from God is eternal and cannot be taken from us. So we see in that just one verse, the depths of God's promise to us. That if we just stop and look from the perspective of the tomb being empty, we see so many blessings. And what Paul is describing changes how we see the world around us. Verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So before the foundation of the world was set, God had a plan for us in Jesus Christ, that we should be in him in us. He knew Adam and Eve would fall because he knew if he gave his image to man, to woman, without his perfection, without who he is, he knew man would eventually fall, but he had a plan, and that plan was Jesus Christ coming, God himself coming into the world and taking our place and giving us redemption through him. That makes us what? Holy and without blame before him in love. So how many times have we spent praying before God saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I've messed this up beyond repair. And just me? It's okay. We're amongst friends. Amen. How many times have I approached God and said, well, I blew that, Lord. I don't even know why you chose me because I can't do this. I cannot get this right. And what he sees when we are going to him is, first of all, he doesn't hear our sin. He's forgotten it. And he sees us holy and without blame before him in perfect love because of what Christ Jesus did. Isn't that beautiful? You know, where is our self-esteem? Our self-esteem has to be centered in Christ. So we have Christ's esteem. So we know who we are. And we know that Christ has given us this great gift of salvation. That we're holy and blameless. We cannot earn it. We cannot do enough. We just receive it. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Remember, he's bringing us back to the beta of bringing us back to his family, adopting us back into his family according to the good pleasure of his will. So here we are just reading a couple of verses. And we see the outpouring of God's love, God's righteousness, God's mercy for us. But do we live in this reality, church? Do we wake up in the morning and say, I'm holy and blameless before you, Lord, in love. You are abundant in grace and mercy. Whom shall I love today? What shall I sacrifice for you today? Who are you going to put in front of me so I can bless and I can love? Because as long as we're willing, he's willing to use us. Amen? See, a lot of times we get beat down. When the focus gets put on us, and the mirror is on us, and we see our flaws, we see our insecurities, and we're like, well, I have to get clean. You know, I've often heard kind of the blood Jesus described it as soap. If I get my hands dirty, I got to use soap to wash it off. But then I just get dirty again. What the blood does, it cleanses me. It cleanses me. all the stains. I become white as snow. What was discarded and thrown away now has become holy before the holy God. Not because what we did, but because what Jesus did. How many of us have discarded ourselves because we don't feel worthy? But he has made us worthy because what he did on the cross and walking out of that empty tomb. That's why it's called the good news. That's why it is the good news. So let's go to verse 10. Are you with me this morning? To the praise of the glory of his grace by which made us accepted in the beloved. You know, even in Paul's greetings and in what he's doing, he's laying out great understanding. See, verse 6 reminds me of the woman caught in adultery, thrown at the feet of Jesus. She was set up, but according to the law of Moses, she should have been stoned. It didn't matter the circumstance. It mattered that she was engaging in that sin. She should have been stoned. But what Jesus did overrode that. He offered her grace and mercy because the only one that could condemn her didn't condemn her. Church, we're all thrown at the feet of Jesus by the enemy saying, look at this person. Look at you. You're a sinner. You're not worthy. But Jesus tells a different story about us. He cleanses us, redeems us, says, and go and sin no more because we're not slaves to sin anymore because his grace abounds. Why does God give us grace? Because he chooses to, amen? Should we give each other grace? Yes. That's oftentimes we forget. We forget to give others grace and mercy when God is abounding in grace and mercy. He has so much grace, he just gives it freely all the time. He never runs out. Amen? If we would operate the same way, just think how much easier life would be if we would just offer that grace and love in the same way. Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What is redemption? It means to be set free by paying a full price. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus according to the riches of his grace and mercy. Paul goes on to say, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. That means what was hidden in the Old Testament, what was types and shadows, now is revealed in Jesus Christ. So that when Moses put up the pole, and God said, put up the pole, because the people were being bitten by venomous snakes and they were dying. He said, put up the pole and put a bronze serpent on it. And when the people look to it, they shall be healed. There was a mystery to that. Why did God say that? Until Jesus came, and that was a type and shadow of Jesus to come, hanging on the cross, becoming the curse for us. The perfect lamb being brought to the sacrifice was Jesus. The scapegoat was Jesus. It was all about Jesus. Abraham putting Isaac on the altar was symbolism of God putting his son, his one and only son on the altar for us. But God would not pull him back. He would see it through. And because of that, we've been set free. And the mystery of his will is now revealed in him. Verse 10, that in the time of the fullness of time to come, he might gather together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Church, this is, when we see the reality of what Jesus did through the lens of not defeat, not trying to earn something from God, but in the reality of the freedom in Christ, the scripture just looks and feels love. Amen? It is love. Verse 11, he goes on, in him. That means everything flows from Jesus. We have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It reminds me of Romans, that all things work to the good of those who love him. How many of us have been in a situation where we wanted something to happen and it didn't happen the way we thought it should? Amen? All of us at some point in time. We plan our lives, then our life goes and takes us different directions, but the love of God says this: when we love him, he works all things out for his good in our life. So what is there to fear? Perfect love casts out all fear. What are we holding back from the Father to give him everything we have? His love abides in us, and when we abide in him, we get that love. We get that perfect love that casts out all fear. How many of us are carrying around baggage and hurt and pain from the past? Your identity is not what happened to you. It is what God did through you despite your hurt and pain. We're not victims. We are victors in Christ Jesus. Our identity is not what happened to us. It's what God is doing through us. That is our identity. We have to lay down the hurt and pain. We have to forgive those who have hurt us. And we have to run to Jesus every single day. You know, I look at the world and I ask myself, where's the grace? Where's his mercy? It should flow abundantly in his church, out of his church. We should have so much grace and mercy and love that when people see us, they either run to us or run from us. Amen? That's the way we should operate. Life is hard, but God is good. And when we see the scripture from a perspective of being an inheritor of his goodness and not trying to earn it, then it changes everything. Verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The moment you believe, the Holy Spirit's in you. And verse 14 says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? Church, I remember being, you know, I was a preacher's kid, as you have heard in my testimony. And I grew up in church, spent a lot of time sleeping in pews, listening to my father preach. But I never felt worthy. I never felt like I was good enough for God. It was always this sense of trying to earn. And part of my testimony is that I rebelled and I ran from that version of God that I thought created a standard that no one could live to. And I ran from that. I ran from that God. But when he called me back into his arms to do his ministry, to teach his people, he didn't have me crawl and beg. He just opened his arms and he loved me. And he revealed who he really was beyond the mask of false ideas, false religion, and false burdens. He's a God that loves us. He's a God who sent forth his son, and he is a God that wants to restore that relationship. It's the good news. It's not the gospel and, it's Jesus Christ, period. And that's the beauty of where we stand this morning. It's in the reflection and in the beauty of that gospel. You are here this morning because you're drawn in by the Holy Spirit, because you're hungry for something. Something that this world can't offer you, that only Jesus can. And that comes from the understanding that we've been redeemed, set free, bought with a price to come back into fellowship in relationship. And out of that fellowship in relationship comes my identity, comes my strength, comes who I am, and I am now giving it to the world around me. You may be here for the first time this morning, or you may have been here for years and years. It doesn't matter. If you've been in church or not in church, God still loves you. And God sent forth his son to die for you. And he walked out of that grave on that early Sunday morning to solidify our victory in him. You know, Jesus didn't die for himself, amen? He didn't rise for himself, he rose for us. He died for us. Because Jesus had nothing to prove to anybody. He was God and would always be God. But he chose to be our salvation. He was crushed for our iniquities. And he rose again to be brought back so we could be brought back into his family. So church, as we are going to take a moment now to look at the elements, the bread, the juice this morning, as we partake of this great symbolism of God's love. Now here at the Way, LBK, it's free to everyone. God's table is free to anyone to sit at. There's no rules or regulations that you have to be a church member, you have to be baptized, you have to have hair, or you have to have no hair, or you have to dress a certain way. No. If you're breathing, you're welcome at the table of God. And that's the beauty. And that's the beauty of what we're celebrating this morning. We're celebrating what Jesus did. And when he was in that upper room, thousands of years ago, it still echoes today of the beauty of this symbolism. Because what Jesus did was he was taking something physical, something that we can see, something we can touch, and he was putting himself in it. So thousands of years later, when we're doing this morning, we're doing it in the same spirit, the same understanding of Jesus doing it himself. These elements, apart from God, have no special power, amen? This is store-bought stuff. But when we put the remembrance of who Jesus is and our faith into it, then it becomes the life of God given to us. It's his grace manifested towards us. And that's the beauty of what we are doing this morning. See, he took the bread and he tore it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Then he took the cup. He took the cup of wine and he poured it. And he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of your sins." Right here, church, right here. The gospel is summed up in this very act. But just like the gospel, we must consume it. We must taste and see that God is good. So at this moment, I will ask my servers to come forward. There'll be two on each end, and I'll pray and I will serve them. Then I will ask you to come up. You can take a piece of the bread to dip it, or you can have the server give it to you, whatever you like. And we have some gluten-free options as well. We want everyone to feel welcome and loved in the house of God, because this is more than the Way LBK. This is the house of the Lord, the family of God. So let's pray. Lord, as we observe and we take time this morning to reflect on what you did, Lord, give us that certainty that our salvation comes from you and you alone, that you welcome us all to your table, that we can partake of your grace, because it's of your grace and of your love, of your mercies that you overflow to us. Lord, your cup overflows for us and to us. Now our cup overflows with your mercy and grace. Because you're not a God of just enough, you're a God of more than enough. And we thank you for that. In your precious, in your holy name. Amen, amen. This relationship can't just be about church on Sunday morning. It goes deeper. It invades all of our lives and invades everything and takes over who we are. And his love becomes our identity. And he becomes one with us. Because guess what, church? God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus Christ. Amen? Just think about that. He loves you just as much as Jesus. And Jesus loves you just as much as he loves the Father. And the Holy Spirit is in us confirming all those things. So church, what do we have to fear? Amen? What do we have to fear? Thank you for coming. I truly mean this. We love each one of you, whether this is your first time or 1,000th time. We want you to feel loved and welcome at the Way LBK. We're a church on the move. We are the church going places. Amen? And we are a church with his love in our hearts and a destination moving forward. So before you leave this morning, if you would help us with the snack packs, as that's an extension of God's love into the children of this community, that would be great. We love you. Sundays are better with you. We'll see you next Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.